Hey everybody, Hunter Galcast here. This is a different episode than previous Hunter Galcasts. Our guest is Nightmage. He's a cosplayer. But we're also dedicating the first few minutes of the episode to the late, great Route 29 Batman, Mr. Leonard Robinson, who sadly lost his life to a hit and run last week. There will be some ads, but we really got into the discussion with Leonard, and I kind of lost track of time, so the ads will be at the end instead of usually in the 30-minute mark, so I apologize to my partner that works. Per usual, this will contain some salty language, so listener discretion is advised. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy the show.
I'm going to be 54 once I get this guy stopped. He's got no tags, but he's got Batman on it, and he's dressed like Batman. Batman's going to be stopping at, hold on. Southbound 29 at Prelude, and again, no tags, it's just got the Batman seal on the vehicle. It's a black Lamborghini, and a driver dressed as Batman. You can send me Robin if you wish.
So the kids like me?
Yeah.
Okay, Batman.
Okay.
How are you? Good.
It's a nice car, dude. You got a front tag there, Batman? What's your name, rather than Batman?
Lenny.
Lenny. Okay. Do you have a front tag with this on the vehicle, or no?
Or just the vehicle?
Yes, okay. Right. Okay, you can get the registration, man.
Okay.
Here, so you can get down to Georgetown Hospital, okay, brother?
Driver's license?
Yeah, I'm gonna run it. What you got on there, brother? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Well, we're just gonna take a few seconds.
Okay.
Lenny, do you mind if I take a picture of the road?
We lost a great cosplayer last night, and I found out about it this afternoon. Mr. Robinson, better known as Route 29 Batman. I was living in a PA area that was not too far from Maryland, and I heard of this guy. If you've never seen the documentary, it's on Netflix called Legends of the Night. It's a really, really, really awesome documentary, and he's in it. I'm sure you've seen the video where he's gotten pulled over by the police, and they put in the documentary. It's a must-watch. It's a great YouTube video. I don't know what happened. He was in his Lamborghini, got pulled over for something, and it's hysterical. But there's a whole segment towards him, and unfortunately, if I understand this correctly, he was working on his car, something where his car broke down, and the Toyota came out of nowhere and just hit and run. This made not only news on Facebook, on Twitter, and it pissed a lot of people off, it made NBC Nightly news tonight. I mean, this really, really hit a lot of people, because this guy was known for not just dressing up as Batman, but going to children's hospitals and not just walking in going, "Hi, I'm Batman, goodbye." He really, really played the part for the Cape Crusader. It's very heartbreaking when you watch that segment and see what we lost. So I'm just going to ask everyone right now just a moment of silence for Leonard. Alright, thank you. Or best known as Nightmage. We got a cosplayer in the house, which is great, because I don't think we've had a cosplayer. We've had all these indie comic book artists and writers, but a cosplayer, no less.
Right.
Yeah, you never forget your first time. But here's what's interesting, though. I don't know when it finally got coined the term cosplayer, because if you go down to Los Angeles, everybody's dressed up. There's always been these documentaries. if you go to Manhattan right now, people are dressed up and they're asking $5 of... I mean, this is a huge thing. And then you go to comic book conventions, and I finally cosplayed 3 times. As Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I have that picture with the angry video game nerd. I got the hat, I got the white pants, I got the white Crocs, I got the costume shirt, I got the cologne that made me smell like a marshmallow. It was awesome.
So delicious.
Oh, it was awesome sauce. James and Mike loved it, so it was great. As the Mad Hatter, I got to, every comic book day, not only get punched by Batman and Terry Kelly Robin with a slingshot, but it was great, and I got more free comics out of it, too. Cosplaying seems to be where people are getting more and more creative. And what I also appreciate about it is that there are all these Facebook memes where the people that are cosplaying at the conventions are doing a lot better than what they're doing in the movies. Case in point, there was a cosplayer as Apocalypse for X-Men, and then we saw what Apocalypse is going to look like for that movie that people are comparing him to Ivan Ooze.
Yeah.
When the shoe fits.
First one was from the cinema makeup school, and I can't remember the cosplayer's name. I think his first name was Mike, but they did that at San Diego Comic-Con and last year, and it was amazing. And then the other Apocalypse I saw from Aaron Smith down in Florida, he does fantastic work, and his Apocalypse was just incredible. So I keep seeing those two memes, and yeah, you're right. It's like the cosplayers are doing this with a really minimal budget, and they're blowing it out the park, killing Hollywood. It's crazy.
I think it's more to do with the passion, though. I mean, you look at some of the people, whether it's on the cosplay side, on the art side, anyone who's really close to comics, where it's been a major influential part of their life, there's a really huge passion for that.
Yeah.
And it definitely becomes, I don't want to say obsession because that's kind of making it too far, but it definitely becomes a driving force to want to, you know, take pride in something that mirrors the comic, that shows that passion, and almost becomes a perfectionist. Whereas with Hollywood, it's more how much money can we make in an opening day.
Now, I will say, I give a small pass to Hollywood because I understand that, and I always preach this with, you know, other cosplayers, it's a creative vision that, you know, you are portraying. So each director, each writer, each costume designer, it's their vision of that character.
Right.
So, you're taking creative liberties. I mean, I do it with my costumes, but honestly, like, I don't do screen accurate or page accurate characters. I don't do it. I put my own small twist into it. It's my vision of how the character looks in my head for me. So I can understand, you know, Hollywood's doing the same thing. However, sometimes I think it's better to cater to the fans. You know, like, I'm doing it for myself. Hollywood's kind of, they're doing it for themselves, but they're also doing it for the fans too, so.
Right.
You can definitely tell
in Hollywood which directors or which actors know they're giving that fan service, and they go the extra step to make sure that's seen in their performance or in what they deliver.
I mean, I think a huge case of point is Ryan Reynolds. He's doing a huge fan service with Deadpool, and, you know, so he's making sure that it's going to be done how the fans really want it to be done.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I do have to ask, because Ryan Reynolds really does give a damn about the fans. There was all this big controversy when he showed up in Wolverine Origins, and we just saw him towards the end where his mouth was shut, and people were coming like, that's not Deadpool, it's not. Where's the costume? Finally, we get this trailer where, of course, Deadpool is known for not only having his mouth, but also breaking the fourth wall, and him making that comment of what Fox did back God knows when Wolverine Origins came out. So we're aware of that. I do love the animated eyes as a nice touch. I thought that trailer last year was a joke and they're just like petitioning to get him in. Now that I saw it over a movie that I dare never speak of again, because the less I talk about that one, the better. But I am curious to see more and more people, though, it's amazing, are dressing up as Deadpool. I've always been curious with the cosplaying. Because some people will dress as a character in the now. Some people will dress as a character from 30 years ago that you don't remember. Some people will do a hybrid. I've seen a hybrid Penguin Granny Goodness for some reason. I've seen some really bizarre hybrids. I've seen a hybrid of Peach and Bowser. I've seen people dress up just simply as Silent Bob. I've seen a lot of people quickly dress up as the Penguin from the Gotham TV series. Like, they'll dress up as the latest thing because it's not easy to do.
Now, dude.
I think that's one of the beauties of cosplay is there's no really rhyme or reason why you would do it. Like, some people do it, like you said, do it for the now, for the characters that are really popular now to get a rise out of people. Some people cosplay the really obscure characters. Like, my one friend, he does Sin Eater. He does Whirlwind. He does these really obscure characters. They're so freaking cool. It's so cool to see someone, you know, give those characters love. But then you have the Harley Quinns, and you have the Deadpools, and you're going to see them everywhere. And that's what I do. That's all I know. It's about having fun.
I do have to ask, though, is that when do you decide I'm going to dress up as Deadpool or I'm going to dress up as Swamp Thing? Like, is it to keep up with the times? And when do you just want to say, you know what, I remember that character from 60 years ago that nobody remembers, and I'm going to be somebody that nobody's really thinking about just to, like, stand out in the crowd and get a reaction?
For me, I'm usually on the toilet, honestly, when I think of my characters. Like, either on the toilet or in the shower. It just comes to me. Like, I don't know, like Space Ghost. I liked Space Ghost growing up. I never really watched, like, Space Ghost Coast to Coast too much, you know, on Adult Swim. But I thought of the character, then I just start thinking about the costume. And I thought, man, that would be a really cool costume to try and do. And that's how it starts. Like, for me, honestly, there's been characters that I've cosplayed where I know nothing about. Nothing whatsoever. However, I love the design of the character. So I start thinking, how can I make that design mine? And then I start doing it. So some characters is out of my love, and then some characters is just out of fun. Or some characters actually is just out of the favor of someone else, like Piccolo. Someone asked me to do Piccolo, and they were going to basically commission me to do it for myself. So I've never watched Dragon Ball Z.
Oh,
I know nothing about it. I know nothing about Dragon Ball Z, but I started looking at Piccolo. I was like, all right, that would actually be kind of fun to do. And the fact that he was going to pay me, of course, I had to turn that to some kind of way of giving back charity wise. So I was like, all right, cool, I'll do it. So to me, it's not 100% about the love of the character. It's about the love of the character, and sometimes it's the love of creating.
You know,
that's what the whole medium's is about to begin with. I mean, comics and cosplayers and all of it, it's all about creating everything and seeing that come to life, and that's one of the things I've always loved about cosplay.
Right.
And comics. So.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and I'm going to get up on my little pedestal real quick, and I hate to do that, but my little pedestal is this. I met Michael back when the artists were, and Ed will remember this, back when, it's always kind of been an undercurrent, but it became really, really hardcore a few years back where, you know, cosplayers and artists were almost at each other's throats because of the con. Artists were getting upset that cosplayers were, you know, pretty much taking over a lot of the Comic Cons, and cosplayers were like, well, no, we're just there because, you know, hey, without you guys, we couldn't do what we do. So, I mean, I met Michael around that time, and before that, I'd never really looked at cosplay aside from, what's her name? Yaya Han? Love her stuff. Anime. Absolutely gorgeous. And then I started to look at Michael's, and I met Christopher Cho, who is absolutely amazing as well. I adore that man. His artwork is supreme, and when he cosplays as Aquaman or as Shazam, I'm just like, you are my favorite one I'll ever meet in a cosplay. And the same thing goes for you. When I saw you as Cloak, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. Done. I adored it. That is my absolute favorite of yours. And that was something that I've always loved seeing with you guys is, you know, yes, there may have been that division that really, truly sucks, and it's still a little bit of a friction depending on who you talk to. But that was only something that amazed me above and beyond is the passion level that you guys bring to it. I mean, you guys truly do, absolutely, hands down, bring the same type of passion that an artist prompt when they put pen to paper or pencil to paper or start typing a story up. It's amazing to watch you work.
I think I always say like cosplayers are, we're artists. We're just like the artists that actually draw the characters and create the characters. The only difference is instead of like a canvas and ink, we're using needle and thread. You know, it's, we're artists. But to add to what you were saying with the conflict between artists and cosplayers, that was only honestly a very, 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 very small percentage of artists. I mean, honestly, I could say 98% of the artists I've interacted with, they adore cosplayers. They loved it. I mean, it's you know, you're bringing their work to life.
Right.
And they really appreciate that. You know, so it was a really small percentage of the artists that kind of felt that way.
Right. It was one of those where, you know how you always see how things trend on social media?
Yeah.
It was one of those where every other post that would come up on my newsfeed would be someone saying something, and I'd just be like, really, guys? Again today?
I know. That's the thing, like, you know, like George Perez, I adore that man. And he's one, like, he loves cosplayers. He loves it to death. And he's very supportive of them, you know? And so it's very a small percentage of the artists. Very, 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 very small.
Well, and speaking, I know for us at least, I don't think that there would be any higher honor than someone coming up to my table dressed up as a character that I've helped bring to life and being like, oh my god, read the
book. It's a huge honor.
You're dressed as my character. I don't think there would be any higher honor than that, ever.
Yeah, I see something that you worked on and created, you know, since you were like 13 years old, and somebody walks up to get a signature on the comic book of it dressed as that character, you're just kind of like...
Yeah.
Well, even Matt and the people who do their spins on, I love seeing people who do spins where it's the Riddler, but he's steampunkified or cyborg, or I love seeing that creativeness.
Just different mashups of different characters.
And to see what they do it with. Like, I watched a guy who made a turtle cell out of a trash can and some wire, like what was Gary Arnie's. It's just amazing what people come up with. I'm like, okay, I can, like, concentrate on from size 8 to size 005, what size 5 and 5 need, but you guys are like, I'm in Hobby Lobby, I have $20 computer.
Dollar, like the dollar store and Goodwill are my best friends. Like, I'm all about doing things cheap. It doesn't have to be expensive to be awesome. It's just about thinking outside the box, just being creative.
Yes, and the Swamp Thing is probably the epitome of that I've seen from you. That was Tyler.
I'm glad it turned out good because we went to an actual like swamp and I got bit up with mosquitoes. I didn't know mosquitoes could like bite through spandex and stuff, and I got bit up so bad. It was horrible. But the shoot turned out awesome. I was really happy with it. So,
I have to ask you: do you also do charity functions when you are cosplaying?
Yes. Actually, charity is the base of my cosplay. I started off doing charity work, so to me, fundamentally, that's where I gotta stay. You know, everything else is awesome. Like, going to the cons are awesome. Photo shoots are awesome. All these, you know, characters, you know, creating is awesome, but I have to give back through cosplay because that's where I started. And I really think that, like, cosplayers hold a lot of power. Like, they... Take today, for example. You know, I mean, to see his passing and see how many lives he touched just by dressing up as Batman, like, every cosplayer has that power to do that and be that, you know, type of inspiration and have that type of impact. So, I think cosplaying is very important. I think giving back is equally important to any cosplay. So, that's why I try and, everything I do, I try and give back in some kind of way. And I always encourage other people to try and do it, too.
Out of all the characters you've cosplayed, of course, which one was your least favorite? There's got to be some sort of, like, turn the punch bowl there.
All right, there's two. Black Adam, only because I love the character Black Adam, but when I made it, that was, like, my second or third costume I made, the sewing skills aren't that great. So when I sewed it, the span of the suit like just fell too down over my shoulders. It was like a dress. It was just horrible. It was horrible. I hated it. And Ultraman. I had an idea to do like a original design of Ultraman, and it ended up looking like Lord Zedd from Power Rangers. I like the suit. I mean, it's creative. It's awesome. I'm just not happy with it. So I would say those are my two least favorite. Black Adam, I'm going to redo, though. I will revisit that and redo it.
Yeah, I'm not... That's Shazam's villain, if I'm not too mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not read too much of Shazam, so... Best character you've done so far?
Best? That's even harder. It depends. Depends on what I'm doing. Like, if I'm at a convention, I would say my favorite character... Probably either Predator or Spawn. Spawn. If I'm at a charity event, then it's either Batman or Super Grover. That is because Batman, just like all kids love Batman.
Yeah, who doesn't love Batman?
Right. So, you know, it's just awesome to see the kids' reactions to Batman, and so that's
the answer to that. Awesome. Usually people who like Superman aren't huge fans of Batman.
Listen, like, I almost had an argument with a tow truck driver the other day. So the guy, he comes, and he's towing my car, and he's wearing a Superman necklace. I'm like, nice necklace. He's like, oh, yeah, thanks. And so we start talking, and he's like, I'm more of a Batman fan. He, like, seriously got mad at me for being a Batman fan. He's like, oh, that dude sucks. I'm like, you're just going to tow my car. I'm just having a conversation with you about, I don't know.
Get on it about that like that. That's almost, I hate sports. Like, let's just lay that out there. If you see sports posts on my wall, there's an issue. I hate sports.
Somebody hacked her account.
Somebody's hacked me. About Steelers sports or Colts sports. There's definitely something wrong. Somebody come find me.
Wait.
But that level we talk about superheroes. It really is. Like, people get so passionate about who their favorite is, and
Yeah, you know what I think it is now? Is because of the internet, and you have all these Facebook pages and memes, and the biggest thing right now is how they're being handled in the movies. And I'll bring it up. People are upset who's going to be the actor, if they've changed things for political correctness. Again, honestly, I don't care who's playing the part. It doesn't matter to me. I think Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury...
Wonderful.
He, not only that, but most of his... performance in Winter Soldier has nothing to do with the... I don't care. I love Samuel Jackson. Kingsman, I thought he was awesome.
No, even better than that. You know how I knew Sam was going to do great in that? Unbreakable.
Oh, Unbreakable, definitely. And he absolutely wants to come back for the sequel for that, yeah.
One funny thing about that, though, is what a lot of people don't know, and they start saying, well, you know, when that first happened, when they fear is, when Sam Jackson, they fear, they're like, well, why did they change him black? What a lot of people don't know is they're basing the movies very, very, very closely, loosely, off of the Ultimate version of the Avengers, which they modeled Nick Fury off of Sam Jackson in the comics.
Yeah.
So they are going off the comics. So a lot of people just look at the movies and they don't really read the comics, they don't follow the comics, so they're just going off of that and they remember from what they, you know, grew up on, and things have changed.
Yeah, right? I mean, even with Daredevil the movie with Michael Clark Duncan, in all honesty, he was in a few movies where he was intimidating. I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, who else are you going to get to play Kingpin but Michael Clark Duncan, who of course was a gentle giant in Green Mile, and then he's still soft-spoken and intimidating at the same time. Who else would be better for Kingpin than him? And had he not passed away a few years ago, I would have loved to see him come back. I mean, he was Groot.
I like the guy in the new series. I love Michael Clark. And that kind of harks back to it, though. If you're willing to come on and you bring that presence and that character, if I can sense that character when I'm watching you, whether it's through the movement, the inflection in your voice, your mannerisms, we're good. I don't care if the rest of the movie's a flop. If you did your job, we're good. And I like the new they brought on. I can't remember the actor's name. I remember him from,
MIB.
No, not MIB.
Benicio del Toro, that's who it is, I think.
No, I'm going to
No, Vincent DeForo. Vincent DeForo, that's who it is, yes.
Oh, I like him, too. But, I mean, that's kind of my thing. Is if you can bring that passion to it, we're good.
They were actually, they're really two different characters between Michael Hart Duncan and the current Kingpin. Like, the current Kingpin, I really felt for him. You know, he was like that, he was like that little kid, never grew up. He's just, you know, he didn't know any better. I really felt for him. But yet, he could mess you up. You know, Michael Hart Duncan was, he was that adult. He knew what he was doing. Agenda.
Well, that's the best thing about it, though, is, and you mentioned it, and that's actually the most solid point ever, is, you know, different people are going to bring a different version to it or a different side of a character because that's what they relate to. And that's what makes the movies and the TV series so well when it comes across that way, is seeing all the different aspects of the kaleidoscope of a character and being able to watch all these different things and not seeing the same side of them.
I think a lot of it has to do with we have access to so much, and so much is happening. People feel entitled. I don't know. Flat out, they feel entitled. I'm just happy to see these characters on screen. I don't care what color they are. I don't care about what race they are. I don't give a crap. I'm just so happy to see these people on screen.
I'm so excited for the Inhumans. It's not even funny. I'm so excited.
But my question would be is that, and this is why I was not a fan of Age of Ultron this year, and it was one major complaint that I had. It wasn't a bad cast, but the problem is you're dump trucking so many characters, and for those who don't remember, I mean, you got the Vision, and now I understand, of course, that's Jarvis, and that's the actor, and that's the one who voiced Jarvis in the Iron Man movies, and that's great, but you dump truck Falcon, which is not bad because he was in Winter Soldier, so we know who that is, but I feel that then you bring him and Rhodey, and are they just there because they're going to start to form the Avengers? They're pushing so many people in, there's not enough plot, and then it comes down to, well, again, it's all about Tony Stark, and that's a problem. Then you bring more characters in, you're trying to push some away, you're trying to build up for the next movie that I don't know what's going on now. I felt, instead of Age of Ultron, it would have made sense to keep Hydra in this fence, because if there is continuity with the Phase 2 onto Phase 3, and with Winter Soldier, if Hydra took over and S.H.I.E.L.D. is decimated, wouldn't it make more sense than instead of bringing in Ultron, saying, hey, you remember that Ultron thing, which, of course, I'm not even going to go there how wrong that origin story is, it would have made sense to continue with Hydra and how broken S.H.I.E.L.D. is, and then worrying about whether or not Civil War, how and when it should happen. That was my whole complaint.
I agree. Actually, I do agree that a lot of these movies, there's so much content, and there's only so much you can do with a 2.5 hour time slot. You know? I mean, so I understand trying to put so much in, but yeah, you're right, it gets just congested and feels rushed. I do understand that, but there's not really much you can do about that.
Yeah, I know, it's just that 2.5 hours and 2 hours and 25 minutes was all Tony Stark and 5 minutes was everybody else. Bum-bum-bum. Yeah,
I will admit, Ultron should have been more of a threat. He should have been.
Yeah.
Like, Ultron is it, man. Like, so.
I would have been longer. Well, I mean, because I get where they're trying to go, and it is. It is rushed, because you can tell they're trying to get all of the ducks in a row for Civil War.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get it there while making the things that a person wouldn't normally recognize be in the forefront. This one was a lot about Tony, and that's because Tony plays a huge part in Civil War, and that's where we're leading to.
Wouldn't it be really cool, and I hope to see them do a lot more of this, is continue a lot of stories through, like, Netflix. And just make it one huge universe. I mean, it is going to be kind of weird to think of, like, Daredevil in the same universe as Rocket, raccoon, you know what I mean? Like, could you imagine those two having a conversation together? Mm-hmm. It was just be weird, but it would be cool just to have all those, you know, to see those worlds more connected and just bring it all together.
Theories walking around that Marvel's already had planned for the guy that played Daredevil to have walk-on parts in other films. A lawyer in a background or something in that vein. And, I mean, they've already referenced the rest of the Marvel U with the Battle of New York in Daredevil series. And I gotta say that, honestly, the Daredevil series is probably the best thing that Marvel's put out in this phase, for lack of a better term.
No, forget that, girl.
That was great, but that was the end of phase two, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
I would love that, though. I would love to just see, like, a teaser where they did with Ultron, where the actor who plays Daredevil, Matt Murdock, who just, like, comes out in camera and goes, "Hey, guys, I'm here," and they just say, "You had your chance," and he walks off, and they go, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, wah. Something like that.
Better yet, throw him in Civil War. Like, Cap gets arrested, and, you know, his lawyer walks in, and it's Matt Murdock. I mean, everybody in the entire audience would squeal and with joy.
I'm
feeling bad because they totally cock-teased Howard, and they're not going to do anything with Howard, and I'm upset about that. They should redo Marvel Zombies and give me something with Howard.
Howard, I've been reading the comics. Here's the thing. In Season 1, when I re-upload it, a friend of mine, who unfortunately I've lost touch with, Wyatt Jones, we were doing a mini-series on Howard the Duck. We were talking about the original movie as well as the original 70s comics onward. And when I'm freelancing over at Geekcast Radio, I did a blog. And for my number one of top 37 comic books, because when I turned 37 last year, for my number one, I picked the Howard the Duck, the original 70s series. I would love to see them try to bring... If they could bring Deadpool into the mix, even if it's rated R, there's no reason why they can't put Howard the Duck if they change it around. Especially if you read the original 70s comics, there's a ton of social commentary. Quack Fu, issue 3 of Howard the Duck. The whole thing about Quack Fu was he's on Earth, he sees a kid getting bullied by this gang, and the kid is beaten to death, and Howard is trying to fight back, and everybody just keeps looking at him going, "But you're a duck," because, you know, that's what Howard is. So he goes, he finds a sensei, and he's trying to learn, like, his inner chi, and he calls it Quack Fu, because I guess it's supposed to be a satire on the Kung Fu comics, but what's interesting, it's taken very seriously, unlike the movie. When Howard uses the Quack Fu, he fights the leader of the street gang in an abandoned building. And they're on the top floor, and because Howard is small, the guy's about to kick Howard's head off, and, well, Howard, he literally ducks, because he's a duck, and the guy falls to his death. And the way that it ends is that Howard says that even though the kid is dead, he's somehow turned into a butterfly. Like, he still is able to honor the kid's death, who he couldn't save in the beginning of the story, but is able to somehow save him towards the end. I like that. I'd like, you gotta read, they're on Comixology. I would love to see them, and even, I've subscribed to the series now on Comixology, and I have not had a chance to read the new Howard. He's teamed up with Doctor Strange. I know they could do something with him. The Marvel Universe is very, I mean, if they brought back Squirrel Girl, and I'm waiting for a Squirrel Girl series, and I know she's in, I mean, who isn't in Marvel Lego? They could put him in there. I don't know where they're going to do with Phase 3 and Phase 4 or milk this for all it's worth. I know we're getting a Black Panther movie, which is great, and I know he survived Marvel Zombies, which was awesome. I'd love to see a Marvel Zombies movie or something. But I don't know where else they're going to go other than they're so concerned about marketing every character and just giving them a movie. I mean, I don't know if they quite understand what they could really do with these characters. I don't know if I've seen anybody dressed as Squirrel Girl at a convention. I have.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty. There's actually, if you look her up, Nerd Girl Cosplay.
Yeah.
Star. She does an armored version of Squirrel Girl, and it's pretty stellar. It's awesome. It's really cool what she did with that. There's a lot of Squirrel Girl cosplays. She's getting more and more love.
Well, the one thing I gotta ask you, because we're gonna be doing this in March, we're getting ready for Batman vs. Superman. This has been talked about for the you know, God knows how long. How stoked are you for this movie, and what do you think we're going to get out of this that we didn't get with Nolan? Like,
I'm so stoked. I'm awesome. I'm just happy to see. First of all, I'm happy to see Wonder Woman on screen. That's gonna be awesome. And I mean, it's Batman vs Superman. Right there is just that sells it right there for me. But as far as the movie concerned, I wasn't a huge fan of Man of Steel. I'm a Christopher Reeve guy. That Superman is Superman that called to me. Like, I like the Man of Steel Superman, but Christopher Reeve is my, you know, personal favorite. I just think that the Man of Steel was a little bit too dark. I'm not saying it wasn't a good movie. It was good. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it. I loved it. It was cool. It's just, it didn't give me goosebumps. Now, adding, you know, Batman and Superman to it and expanding on this entire universe, that gives me goosebumps because there's so many other characters going to be introduced and there's so many different stories that can be told. That's giving me goosebumps. But, like, Man of Steel, it was just Superman's story. So it was kind of, all right, seen it before. It's a little different, but nothing new. This is going to be something brand new.
We'll get Cyborg, we'll get, I guess, Aquaman down the road. I've heard different things of what they're going to do. I don't know if they're trying to compete with Marvel. Lots of luck with that. And let's be honest and fair, I'm more DC than Marvel. I've seen both ends of the table. I'm not saying DC has had the best track record either. Neither of them really have. If you want to know the Phase 1, Avengers, Phase 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, and, you know, Winter Soldier, for me anyway. Phase 3, I'm not too sure because I'm so concerned about what the next movie is going to be, and I'm still confused who's part of it and who isn't because they're trying to put in Spider-Man. Dawn of Justice, I don't think they have that Sony 20th Century Fox issue of who they could put in. That would be great, but on the other hand, I'm more concerned about quality than quantity with this. I'm going in with an open mind. I know who the director is. I agree. A lot of people, I hate to be the kryptonite, other than the last 25 minutes, Man of Steel didn't do anything for me that Superman 79 didn't do for me. That's just the way it is. I'm curious to see Batfleck in it, and I'm kind of curious what he's going to do when people apparently. But again, the casting for Luther, no, I wouldn't have cast. What's his name? That Andy Samberg wannabe, the Social Network, yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, what was the name of the movie? Catch Me If You Can? Now You See Me?
Yes, that's the one.
In that, where he's in FBI headquarters or something like that, talking to the FBI guys, and this was like the day they announced that they had signed him to play Lex Luthor, and I was like, I don't know, and then I saw that scene, and I was like, go for it, bro, do it, because he was like, he brought the presence to the table where he owns the room, period, and I was just like, okay with that, bring it.
I don't really ever see it as Marvel versus DC anymore, and I think that's mainly because both of them are doing. I mean, I remember where we were when we saw the list that were coming out of these movies that we've wanted to see come up from the comics for forever, and just see them on the big screen. I mean, yes, Marvel has problems with trying to get his characters back, and hopefully one day they do have all of them back, so that, you know, they can be made in the same way that the ones that are coming out now are. But either way, I mean, just to see that many movies and that much love coming into the theaters is going to be amazing. It's going to be a great. I mean, the next 5-10 years are going to be wickedly amazing.
Yeah.
You're never going to, you know, make every fan happy.
No.
But
you can do your damnedest to try. And they're both doing that. I want to see more a resurgence of, like, you know,
JSA so bad.
The independent characters, like Spawn or whatnot, to get a new movie or something.
Yes.
Or, you know, go use that and grab some Dark Horse material and, like, Grendel or something like that, I'd be all over that in a second. Cowboy, Sin City, these were amazing movies.
Oh, yeah. They were.
Grendel Todd definitely, I mean, I know a Spawn reboot is definitely happening, and
yeah.
I know Ron Perlman is really vying for Hellboy 3.
Yeah,
well, here's the thing. He kind of... I don't know if it was a joke of him acting gruff, but I don't get it. If Pacific Rim made money, then
yeah.
Del Toro could do whatever he wants to do. I mean, if he walked away with two video games because of God knows whatever that BS was, there's no reason why... I mean, Hellboy 2 was number one before Dark Knight came along, as I recall.
Yeah,
and
it was an amazing movie.
It was. We are going to be talking about that this March, by the way. But, again, I don't get the fact what Del Toro has done that we can't get a third Hellboy movie. Not to mention the fact, even in the comics right now, it's a cliffhanger. I know what happens, but there's now this cliffhanger that I'm not going to give away. So I would like to see more Ron Perlman, not just a cameo or whatever they did with him in Pacific Rim. And that made money, too. As for Spawn goes... I saw it once in theaters, I never saw it again. I kind of walked in there, arms folded, eyes crossed, going, like, if it's not Marvel, DC, rabble. I liked Spawn, I read the comics, I liked what they did with him in Image Comics. The HBO series was a little more entertaining than the movie, but I don't think people knew what to do with Spawn. Like, how do you handle something like that? As a guy who... he's a hell spawn, I mean, we know who he is, and he's fighting both heaven and hell... But how do you handle that in the 90s other than, oh, it's a comic book property, let's put it out there. Today, I think there are more fans.
Right.
I think there would be more people that understand the movie more now. John Leguizamo as... Luigi as clown? No, I...
He was creepy.
He was awesome.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
He did a wicked job at it, but he was creepy.
I can't imagine it. He's going to be irreplaceable. Nobody can top what he did as clown.
And he can come back and be the clown again.
Well, they won't put him back because you know what they'll say. So some studio is going to say, like, the same thing they did with Sam Elliott with Hulk. Oh, we don't want to be reminded of that movie, so we're going to bring in a new cast. And to me, I think Michael Gerald White didn't do anything wrong. I think he's got to come back as Spawn. I think
he's too busy being Jax on Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Well, he could do double duty. If he could do fan service. There's no reason why he can't.
I'm fine with more of him because I adore him in the Mortal Kombat Legacy.
So I would like to see, yeah. If we had to pick right now a series that needs to come back, I'd like to see what they could really do with Spawn. I don't think that really got the justice it deserved. I think that you just thought, well, we'll bring in any comic book, whatever, and then if it fails, well, it's the fans' fault. Like, you don't need your vegetables, Jimmy, so your imaginary friend has to go away forever.
Put it this way. CW has had this really great show that's been running for like a really long time now, and they figured out the perfect formula of how to deal with supernatural characters, and it's called Supernatural.
Yeah.
So Spawn, if you read the comic books, I mean, I read the first 100 issues growing up, and that's what it felt like. I mean, it was a lot darker than that, but
yeah.
There you go. You know, you got it.
If they could do Attack on Titans and bring that into live action, there is no bloody reason they can't do Spawn.
Yeah, I don't. I love to see them just bring in a comic book and not say we're worrying about the Almighty Dollar. We like to do fan service. And I think the problem is Marvel Sony, Marvel 20th Century Fox, Warner Brothers, I think they become so corporate and so concerned about what the next movie and franchise is going to be. That I don't think they quite... Because now everything is under contract. Everything's got
to
be...
Yeah. I mean, look at the fans aren't waiting anymore. There are fans out there that are going out and they're creating these things. There's a... I mean, David Zelding and me, we were talking the other day, and he introduced me to... There's a guy who's making Power Rangers movies and Power Rangers shows, and he just did a full-length prequel to Zordon, and it's all on YouTube. And these are all fan-made. They're not huge productions, but they're amazing. I geeked out. I mean, but the fans are doing that. I mean, and that's an amazing thing to see. So hopefully, you know, if things don't go right for that, there's always Kickstarter. That's becoming more and more popular. I mean, look what happened. What was the game that hit at E3 that you thought would never come back? And it reached Kickstarter in less than a night.
Shoom.
extend the degree.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans are speaking, and they're loud, and they're more than willing to be like, you know what, you want to go ahead and do this production, take my money.
Yeah, that's the good thing, because a lot of these things that you're seeing right now aren't about getting the money. It's about appealing to everybody that's made it so popular, and that's one of the things that I adore. So.
Well, as we start to wrap things up, guys, Michael, what does the future hold for you? What's coming up next for you?
Everything.
That's good. Ambition. I love that.
Yeah, I'm always just trying to. I'm like a shark. I gotta keep moving. You know.
What's that character?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm always creating stuff. I'm starting a. I'm gonna do like a little film series, a found footage film. Me and a buddy at work, we came up with an idea. It's going to be called Zone 8, and we're going to start filming it pretty soon. It's going to be really cool. It's this really, really cool spin on the whole found footage concept. So we're going to do a little short film about that. As far as, you know, conventions, I'm always just adding stuff, adding different conventions.
Kendra, Ed, anything new to plug? Anything going on with you guys right now?
I made promises and sold my soul that I would continue to plug you until we sleep. So here we go, Bob Gar. Until We Sleep Comics is getting ready to release their second issue here very, very, very shortly. The Angel Wars that I'm on is not only Steve, but Chris Matt, who's doing pencils for the first issue, and hopefully the ongoing series. I have the inks on, and both of those are set to, at the moment, be ready to go into publishing by October. Until October, Until We Sleep Comics, so uwscomics.com. And then on top of that, we have had two more volumes of Wonder Thunder's release that are on Indie Planet. It is the anthology volume two, issue three, and then volume two, issue four, which has not only Mike in it, but also Edward.
And
I just plugged him, so we don't need to ask him.
Oh, okay.
She did last time say, well, she did it for me, so.
Thank you.
She did it for me.
That's fan service, kids.
Yep.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We'll definitely have you back in the not-too-distant future, especially when we start talking Batman versus Superman. And, of course,
yes.
2016 seems to be a lot of fan service, because I don't know how this is going to happen. I understand why we have the director that I really don't want to promote because I really do not like his work. He just gets lucky and then some.
Snyder.
Yeah, well, I guess March and Zack Snyder seem to go well together with 300. Watchmen, of course, we're going to be talking about. I mean, we have to.
I liked Watchmen.
Yeah,
I
did too.
We love. No, I am not.
You don't talk about my Zack Snyder like that.
I'm not going to bash Watchmen. But Sucker Punch. Yeah, well,
that's the one blemish on his otherwise brilliant career.
And you know what? Visually, it was a stunning movie. So you know what? I'll let the bad.
It was
great. It was
gorgeous. If you mute it and watch it that way and make your own soundtrack, it's epic.
Play Mario Duck Hunt in the background. Wonderful.
Right.
Well, folks, I'm gonna put this out right now because we're not doing enough right now. And speaking of fan service. Not only are we going to be discussing Batman versus Superman and Watchmen, we're going to be doing a whole huge thing on Watchmen because, you know, we have to for Zack Snyder in March. And I've seen that movie more times than any Zack Snyder movie there out there. But we're going to do a very special bonus, Zack Snyder. And you, the fans right now, we're going to start this now until March. The choices are Dawn of the Dead, Sucker Punch, or 300.
300.
Yeah, well,
I'm already putting my vote out there, 300.
I'm putting my vote for 300 as well, because if I have to watch Dawn of the Dead again, I have to go with 300 on this one. So we're going to put that out there for you folks, as we probably will be podcasting in hell or dining in hell. I have to say, Dawn of the Dead. Sorry, I like the last...
Watch your tongue.
What, Dawn of the Dead?
I grew up on the original George A. Romero one. Then Tom Savini did the 1990 remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
And then Zack Snyder was like, oh, hey, look, Dawn of the Dead. And
I
was
better.
Like, wow.
I've got my Blu-ray of Dawn of the Dead somewhere around here, so... But we're going to get to that soon.
Also,
it will... It will be interesting to see what Zach does. I mean, we kind of knew with Watchmen what he was going to do. He was going to be getting the capes. Yeah, I can see that. So we're going to have a lot to talk about with that one, folks. So
he's passionate.
Yeah, he is passionate, I can tell. Yeah, this is going to be the most passionate podcast we ever had with Snyder Month.
Jeremy's going to be in the room for this podcast so I can smack him when he gets on the line.
You're just going to sit up like a little electroshock like Ghostbusters and every time just shock me every time. Snyder's. So until then, folks.
That's really intriguing. That's like the best idea you've had, Jeremy. Do
they have an app for this on your phone yet?
Right. Oh, please, they have an app for everything.
There's got to be an app for
and
it.
And since we're all comic book men, folks, you know, we're comic book men and women talking about, you know, noich, smoking, weed, smoking. We're going to be doing a View Askew retro
yes,
series.
Yes, we are.
But we're not doing Jersey Girl, and we're not doing... I mean, we'll do Clerks, too, if we're going to put anything into that universe, but... I think...
Now that you think Pinky Kelly in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dogma.
The greatest Kevin Smith movie to date, Dogma. The most underappreciated, underrated Kevin Smith movie to date.
I agree. Right.
And I guess, if it ever happens, Clerks 3.
Yeah.
Which I guess is still happening after Moose Jaws, which I love Tusk, so I'm kind of curious about... Okay.
I
love her... You can't see the video. Her face just dropped that when I said, I love okay, and then Ed just, like, leans in right now, like, say what? What was wrong with Tusk? What was wrong?
What you're talking about?
It was right
Tusk.
Like, this is a random Star Wars character. What are you talking about, bro?
Oh, that's right. Pomda Bomda. That is true. All right. So until then, folks, we'll talk to you all next time. And Leonard, I know you're listening.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman! It's really exciting.
Greetings, citizens. Join me, your old bat chum, John S. Drew, on my journey to discover what it is I love about the classic 1966 Batman television series on the Batcave podcast. Each episode, I'm joined by a guest host as we review the classic television series. There's a new episode every 2 weeks. Same bat time, same bat channel on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at the batcavepodcast.com.
Holy memoranda, folks! Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy. Ears are too long and I miss the cape, but not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Hey there, kids. Do you want to hear a show where a bunch of guys sit around in a comic book store and talk about comics and lifestyle choices, other goofy things and shenanigans they get up to?
Have we ever talked about comics? Usually it's people sitting on my lap and riding the struggle bus.
That's true. It's mostly shenanigans. But occasionally we talk about comics. And if you like any of those things, comics, shenanigans, Devin's Lap, then you need to check out Snake Oil Comics with me, Travis, and my beautiful co-host, Big Dev.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SnakeOilComics.com.
Hi, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And we're Geek Watch 1. Are you interested in TV,
movies,
comics,
games,
and conventions? Everything from Trek,
to Wars,
Marvel,
to DC,
D&D,
to WoW,
Whovians,
and the Hulksters?
Then your search is over.
We are the geeks you're looking for.
Geek Watch 1 is available at kylanandken.podbean.com.
You can also listen, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look for Geek Watch 1.
And you can interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Kylan and Ken.
And remember,
no matter where you go,